That's all right. Give him some praise. If you have your Bibles this morning, turn with me to Matthew, the 20th chapter, starting with the first verse. I'm going to try not to keep you very long. I know that today is Bagel Sunday, but if you don't amen me, you're not getting bagels. Praise the Lord. The title of my message this morning is The 11th Hour. The 11th Hour. Matthew 20 and 1. For the kingdom of heaven is like a landowner who went out early in the morning to hire laborers for his vineyard. Now when he had agreed with the laborers for a denarius a day, he sent them into the vineyard. And he went out about the third hour and saw others standing idle in the marketplace and said to them, you also go into the vineyard, and whatever is right I will give you. So they went. And again he went in the sixth and the ninth hour and did likewise. And about the 11th hour he went out and found others standing idle, and he said to them, why have you been standing here idle all day? And they said to him, because no one has hired us. And he said to them, you also go in the vineyard, and whatever is right you will receive. So when evening had come, and the owner of the vineyard said to the steward, call the laborers and give them their wages, beginning with the last to the first. And when those who came who were hired about the 11th hour, they received a denarius. But when the first came, they supposed that they would receive more, and they likewise received each a denarius. And when they had received it, they complained against the landowner. I'm going to preach this morning about the 11th hour. God is getting ready for another harvest. I said, God is getting ready for another harvest. Man, I feel the presence of God so great here this morning. Hallelujah. The Lord just let me know that he's going to move so mighty that people will not be able to stand in his presence. That people will come through the door and feel the glory of God and be drawn to the altar. There's going to be people saved that we never preach a word, but they're going to run to the altar because God is bringing in a harvest. Hallelujah. Bow your head with me, Father. I thank you for your word. I thank you, God, for each and every one that's here. God, I pray for you, that you would touch this body. God, that I may preach your word. God, that you would anoint every ear to hear, every heart to receive, and every mind to understand. And God, that you would have your way in this place. And we give you the praise, honor, and glory in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen and amen. Turn around, shake your neighbor's hand, and tell him, get ready. Hallelujah. The vineyard. The Bible tells us that the field is the world. Listen to what it says, Matthew 13 and 38. The field is the world. The good seeds are the sons of the kingdom, but the tares are the sons of the wicked one. This world is God's field. It is his vineyard. It is where he is planting, and we're getting ready for a harvest. There are workers that need to be in the harvest. Jesus said, look, the harvest is ripe, but the workers are few. The laborers are few. And what happens to ripe harvest when it's not harvested? It falls and dies. The landowner is the father. I said the landowner is the father. Do you realize that God owns it all? I'm going to say it again. God owns it all. Man has petitioned it off and called it their countries and their cities and their states, but it all belongs to God. Can you say amen? Oh, I wish the leader of Iran would know that you don't own it. It belongs to God. Somebody say amen. Every inch of it, every bit of it belongs to God. And so this morning I want to look at the prophetic of this scripture, the prophetic view of this scripture. The third hour, the Bible said that the man went out the third hour and he talked to them about reaping the harvest. Are you ready for this? The third hour was the time of the crucifixion. Mark 15 and 54 says, now it was the third hour and they crucified him. There's something powerful about the third hour. The third hour was also the day of Pentecost when the Holy Spirit came. Because Peter said, these men are not drunk, but they are filled with the Spirit, or not drunk as you would perceive, because this is the third hour. So in prophetic, the third hour was the harvest at Pentecost. Oh, I'm not getting too many good amens here. It was the harvest of the Jewish people. Look at Acts 1 and 8. But you shall receive power when the Holy Spirit has come upon you, and you shall be my witnesses in Jerusalem. On that day, after the Holy Spirit fell upon them, 3,000 were saved. And then the Bible said, and they were added to the church daily, them that would be saved. There was a harvest, but there was something that went on with the harvest. There was a moving of the power of the Holy Ghost. I'm going to say that again. There was a moving of the power of the Holy Ghost. Things like cripples were walking. Things like the dead was being raised. Things like blinded eyes were being opened. There was a moving of the power of God that brought forth the harvest. Peter and John, walking down by the gate called Beautiful, found the crippled man who was begging for money. They said, silver and gold have we not, but what we have we give unto you. In the name of Jesus, rise up and walk. And then he went running and jumping and shouting into the church, interrupted a good church service. Can you imagine some of the ushers say, somebody needs to set him down. He's out of order. But then somebody else said, wait a minute. Isn't that the crippled man that was at the gate? And he's leaping and he's jumping and he's praising God. And the whole congregation came out and fell down before Peter and began to worship him. He said, listen, I'm just a man like you, but it is the name of Jesus that this man rises up and walks. There is a harvest when the Spirit of God moves. And then there's the sixth hour. Turn around, tell your neighbor, get ready for the sixth hour. The sixth hour was for the Gentiles. John 4 and 6. Now Jacob's well was there. Jesus, therefore, being wearied from his journey, sat thus by the well, and it was about the sixth hour. And as he was sitting there, a Samaritan woman came to him, and he said, give me something to drink. And she said, you know, it's not lawful for me to serve you. He said, but if you knew who I was, you would ask me to drink and I'd give you living waters. Hallelujah. And you would never thirst again. Somebody say amen. It was at, now go back to Acts 1 and 8. After he says Jerusalem, he said in Judea and Samaria. The sixth hour is a time of reaching of the Gentiles. It was such a shock. It was such an amazement when those in Jerusalem found out that the Gentiles, you and I, were being filled with the Holy Spirit and were being saved. It amazed them. And they gathered together and they began to speak about it. Peter said, God showed me a vision. And in it, he had some food there. And he said, rise, kill and eat. I said, God, not so. I wouldn't eat anything unclean. He said, what I have cleansed, let no man call unclean. Can somebody say amen? He said, I went down to Cornelius's house and I began to preach to him, and him and his family got saved, and I heard them speak in tongues. And then the Holy Spirit began to pour out on them with John, Paul and Silas and Barnabas begin to go out, and signs and wonders and miracles begin to happen. Somebody say amen. In the outpouring that begin to move to the Gentiles. I'm reminded when Paul and Silas went to one town, there was a man named Peter there. He was a sorcerer and he had control of the people, and everybody looked to him until Paul got there. And Paul began to lay hands on them, and they began to receive the Holy Spirit and begin to speak in tongues. And he came up to him. He says, listen, I can do all kinds of things. I can't do that. Can I buy that? Listen to me. You don't need a psychic. You don't need 1-900 psychic or to see what your sign says. Somebody say amen. What we need is an outpouring of the Holy Spirit for a harvest. We need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit for a harvest. So there was a great harvest that brought us to this because they evangelized the world. People begin to get saved and the church begin to move. And then you have the ninth hour. Turn around, tell your neighbor, the ninth hour. The ninth hour in prophetic is the turn of the 20th century. Everybody listen to me. The Bible says at the sixth hour, Jesus was crucified on the third hour. At the sixth hour, it got dark until the ninth hour. There was darkness. The world went through a period of darkness. But then the ninth hour, the ninth hour began to come. It started with the Azusa Street Revival, when people begin to come all over from around the world to get a touch of God. I remember reading how that one night they were having church, and when they came out of the church, there were fire trucks in the parking lot. And when they asked, what are you doing here? They said, we saw fire shooting out of this building for miles around. And he said, that's a fire you can't put out by water. It's the Holy Ghost and with fire. Amen. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost and with fire. They tell it one night a young lady came in. They had an upper room prayer meeting, and she went into the upper room prayer meeting. When she got up there, she began to listen what was going on. Soon as service started, she ran downstairs and ran to the altar. She got done and she said, I've got to testify. I've got to tell you something. I told you my name, but that wasn't really my name. I was sent here to disrupt this service. I'm Jewish. She said, I got upstairs and somebody began to speak in perfect Hebrew. Told me why I was here and told me why I was wrong. Oh, somebody say amen. I'm talking about a move of God. I'm talking about the Holy Ghost. It started in a revival in Tennessee, which created the Church of God, which is about 10 million strong around the world. The Assembly of God, the Church of God, Pentecost began to flow. There was a renew, there was a renew, there was a renew, and God began to move powerfully. Oh, my. Let me give you some of the preachers. John Alexander Dowie, Mary Woodsworth Eder, Evan Roberts, Charles Perron, William J. Seymour Smith Wigglesworth. Oh, if you ever get a chance to read after some of these guys, you need to read after them. Smith Wigglesworth went to a Hindu, and they said to him, he grabbed the Bible. They said, we got a book. You got a book? We got a book. And then he reached over and grabbed the crippled baby, laid hands on it, and the baby was immediately healed. He said, but you don't got that. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. And revival broke out. There was a revival that came in the turn of the first century that brought us to where we are today in Pentecost and in charismatic. Do you realize today that the Pentecostal charismatic movement is the fastest growing Protestant church in the world today? We are only behind the Catholic Church and the Islamic Church, and then there's the Pentecostal Church. I'm here to tell you, God, it began to move in the first century, and a great harvest. They had tent meetings and brush arbor meetings. They would travel with tents and go all over this country and preach, and God would do miracles. It moved into A.A. Allen and R.W. Shambach. Somebody say amen. It began to move into Oral Roberts as they traveled, and God began to do great things. If you get a chance, read God's Generals. It's a great book that tells about this time. But that's beginning to happen. But listen to me, church. We're in a time where that people are cold. We're in a time where we need revival. We need God to move in a miracle in a great way. I believe that we are stepping on the 11th hour. There's another time for harvest. There's another time for revival. Oh, the 11th hour. 11th hour means that we're almost to midnight, a dawning of a new day. Listen to me, church. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come. We are living in the last days. What we need is a last day revival, a last day harvest. We need to see God move in power and in miracles. And you see, in the third hour, they got some laborers. In the sixth hour, they got some laborers. In the ninth hour, they got some laborers. We're looking for some laborers. Amen. In the 11th hour, in this time of harvest. Turn around, tell your neighbor, get ready. Amen. Prophecy is being fulfilled all around us. I'll never forget, in the 1980s, I was pastoring. And I would read about a one world government and one world religion. And I would say, God, I don't see how this is going to happen with the Soviet Union and the Iron Curtain and the Berlin Wall. And then we hit the 1990s and prophecy stepped into high gear. The Berlin Wall came down. The Iron Curtain crushed. Revival began to break through the former Soviet Union. I was talking to a missionary, and they said they were preaching in the former Soviet Union. I believe it was Georgia. They were preaching, and they were standing there, and there was a crowd there, and he was preaching with an interpreter. Said all of a sudden, some lady jumped up and shouted something, and the whole crowd went crazy. He said my interpreter was spinning around, dancing. He said, I didn't know what was going on. I didn't know what she said, and I grabbed someone. I said, tell me what she said. And he said, she jumped up and said, I can see. He said, that's good. She said, no, everybody in this town knows she was born blind, has not seen, but today she can see. And she shouted, I can see. And revival broke out. We're living in a time of the 11th hour. I'll tell them about it. It's time for another outpouring. It's time for people to be healed, miracles. It is time for us to reach the lost. They have trusted in everything, and everything has let them down. It's time to introduce them to Jesus. Someone was telling me, Pastor, look how bad things are. Look how everything's going wrong. Look how everything is. And I said, yes, it's exciting times. Amen. This is exciting times. I'm so glad that I'm a pastor in this day and time. I'm so glad we are Pentecostal in this day and time. I'm so glad I still believe in healing. I still believe in miracles. I still believe in the power of God. This day an hour, because this is the 11th hour. Hallelujah. Are we going to be a church that reaps the harvest, or are we just going to be a church? There's a lot of churches that don't want to be part of it. I want to be part of the harvest. I want to be part of reaching people for Jesus Christ. I want to be part of what God is doing. Can you say amen? Let me tell you how we are reaching, how our church is already beginning to reach. Do you realize that Lindenhurst High School has a Bible club? And Andrew is the president of it. Do you realize a knock came on the Kopchinski's door? And when they came to the door, they said, "We want Brandon to be the president of the Bible Club in Babylon." Oh, somebody say amen. By the time we get done, we want a Bible club in Amityville and someone from our church over it. We want one in Farmingdale. We want one everywhere we can. We want to reach the harvest for Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. But listen to me, church. To reach the harvest, we need an outpouring of the Holy Spirit. We need God to move in a miraculous way. We need the power of God. I don't know about you, but I don't want to just have church, but I want to be in church. I want to feel the power of God. I don't want to worship the church. I don't want to worship the church of God, but I want to worship the God of the church. Amen. I want to see God do miracles. I'm not talking about the next fad coming down the road, barking like dogs and clucking like chickens. I'm talking about an old-fashioned Holy Ghost move of God, where people feel the power of God and are delivered and are healed and are saved. My God, I'm looking for the power of God. Hallelujah. Oh, I might be getting some people upset, but that's all right. I got to preach anyhow. Amen. Hallelujah. I'm not talking about the next fad. I'm not talking about following the next fad. I'm talking about a moving of the Holy Ghost, the power of God. I'm talking about when sinners can't stand in a pew. They're either going to the altar or hitting the door. They can't stand it. Somebody say amen. They just can't stand it. Amen. I'm talking about while I'm preaching, people get up and run around the church that have come out of wheelchairs, that have come off of crutches. I'm talking about the power of God. I'm talking about the 11th day harvest. One man stood up in church and said, right out loud, "I thought you said God was powerful. If this is all there is to it, he's the same yesterday, today, and forever. He still is a God of deliverance. He still is a God of healing. He still is a God of salvation." Anybody hear me what I'm saying? He still is God Almighty, but what God is looking for is a vessel. Listen to the words of the landowner. And about the 11th hour, he came and found some standing idle. You know what that means? Doing nothing, not affecting the harvest at all. And the landowner said, "What are you doing?" And they said, "No one's hired us." I come to tell you this morning, God's come to do some hiring this morning. I'm talking about seeing God move. Anybody ever seen God move in miracles and healings? How many want to see it again? Amen. How many want to see it so great that people come and stand outside to get in the church because God is moving so powerful? I'm talking about the move of God. I'm talking about to where that the pimps are at the unemployment office because all the prostitutes have been saved and filled with the Holy Ghost. I'm talking about the drug pushers packing their bags and leaving because God has moved. Glory to God. I'm talking about before they rush them to the hospital, they call the church. Hallelujah. I'm talking about revival. The 11th hour. Who will work? On the third hour, it was Peter and 120 that started a revival and began to reach the harvest. In the sixth hour was Paul, Silas, Mark, and Barnabas. In the ninth hour, it was the evangelists in Azusa Street, Smith Wigglesworth, and those who left their homes and those who fought the battle and went into places and seen great revival. Somebody say amen. They were talked about.
They were knocked down, pushed down.
But God was doing a great thing. God was doing miracles. God was doing revival. Somebody say amen. I want you to know, Evangel Church of God, if you don't want to do this, I'm getting a tent. If you don't want revival, I'm getting a tent. Somebody say amen. I've got to see it. I'm hungry for it. I was born in the fire, and nothing but the fire will do. Amen. I've got to see it. I've got a hunger. Today, we are the instrument of revival. That's why we've got to pray, be ready, be encouraged. Don't you know why the devil's fighting you as hard as he is? It's because he's afraid of what God will do through you. I'm looking forward to the day when you bring someone in here and say, Pastor, let me introduce you to so-and-so. They got saved. I introduced them to Jesus and they got saved. Pastor, let me introduce you to so-and-so. I was at the hospital and they were in a wheelchair and I prayed for them and they came out. They got saved. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Glory to God. I'll never forget when I got my arm cut and I was in the hospital having surgery, and everybody came to the hospital waiting for me, and one of our former assistant pastor's wives was there, and she looked over and there was a lady there crying, and she had a witchcraft book in her hand. She was studying to be a witch, but for some reason she just wasn't happy. By the time it was over, she had threw the book away, walked out with the Bible, saved. Somebody say amen. I'm talking about revival. They're getting tired of everything else. Everybody listen to me. There was a young lady, two evangelists stopped at a park, and a young lady was walking by, and they knew God had instructed them to stop at the park. When the young lady walked by, they began to tell her, we're in revival. We would like for you to come to Bible. She said, you know what? I was raised in church. Up till I was 16 years old, I was in church. I saw them go through all the motions, but I never seen God do anything. We would go there and they would sing. The preacher would preach, would say amen and go home. I never seen God do anything. And she said, at the age of 16 years old, I went to a witchcraft service. I saw them move things. I saw them do things. And she said, I come to figure out that Lucifer was stronger than God because I never saw God do anything. Young people are looking for something to stand on. And what we need to do, every young person of this church needs to walk out here going, wow, our God's an amazing God. We saw God do some great things. God is a powerful God. Somebody say amen. We need revival. This is the 11th hour. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come back. What are we doing for God? This is it, church. This is the last days. Jesus Christ is getting ready to come. And he said, in the last days, I will pour out of my spirit on all. Everybody say all. Not a select few, but all. But all. I said, but all. Hallelujah. You know what I'm praying for? I'm praying for God to send more people in from different cultures, different races. Somebody say amen. Hallelujah. Get ready. We're going to have young people come in here that's going to scare you to death. They're going to have tattoos and earrings, and they're going to scare you, but God's going to bring them in. They're going to be looking for something. Hallelujah. Glory to God. Hallelujah. I'm talking about the 11th hour. Amen. It's time for harvest. Amen. Everybody listen to me. We weren't there at Pentecost. We weren't there when revivals broke out with the Gentiles. Oh, I wish I would have been at one of those tent revivals. Somebody say amen. Amen. Hallelujah. I never forget, I was reading or heard from R.W. Shambach. He was talking about having a tent revival. And he went to a town, and they told him, you can't come inside the town. So he found a farmer that would let him put it out in the field. After the first night, people called and said it was too loud. He said he had 50-some people the first night. They came, and they arrested him. They took him down and they said, listen, we're going to let you go,
But if you're this loud tomorrow night, we're putting you in jail. He said he got up next morning. He said, I could not afford to put it in the newspaper, on the radio. He said, the next morning, the front page of newspaper, tent revival broken up too loud. He said, I grabbed the newspaper and said, thank God for free advertisement. He said, that night there was about 200 there. God moved again. The cops came and waited for him. After service, they handcuffed him and took him and put him in jail. The next day, he was in the newspaper, he was on the radio, and he was on television. That night, he had 1,000. Oh, somebody needs to shout, hallelujah. I'm here to tell you the devil can't stop it. When God begins to move, we need revival. Hallelujah. Oh, I would have loved to have been there. Hallelujah. Oh, but one thing I know is I'm here now. I'm here now. I'm getting ready to be part of the next best thing coming. Somebody say amen. I'm talking about the next thing coming. A moving of the Holy Spirit. A moving with the power of God. Stand with me this morning.